What's up? This is Sean from Smile Empty Soul here in beautiful St. Louis, Missouri at Firebrand Recording, which is a wonderful studio here, tracking our new record, Swan Song, which will start to be released one song at a time here in probably about June, and the whole thing will come out at the end of the year. So keep your ears peeled for it and check it out when it comes out.
Hey, it's your favorite comedian Anthony Rogers, live in his tour bus, yeah, but also, you need to get a beard like this. People have been talking, they said your shit looks whack, it looks weird, they can't tell your pronouns. You need to get a beard like this right now, and the only way to do that is by using Luxurious Bastard Beard Oil. Great smell, great function, great everything. Just get this, and there's directions on how to use it if you know how to read. But use the link in the description, go to the website, use promo code LEGENDARY, get a discount, do it, thank you, boom.
Hi, I'm Danny from 710 Glass. Come check my shop out. This is our Capone rig, 10 mil joint, smoke out of his head.
I'm AJ over at 710. This is our Puffco selection. This is a Peak Pro. It is completely Bluetooth compatible to your phone. You can control it completely from your phone. Lights, how long you want your session duration, what you want it to burn at.
Hi, I'm Jay at 710. Come check out our large selection of American hand pipes and American made glass.
Dude, we have everything.
Welcome back to the best show in the entire universe. How are you doing?
Doing good. Good. Doing really good.
Awesome, man. This is Donphus. Introduce yourself. Like, tell them about yourself. It's like,
yeah,
you have the best intro. It's source. Yeah. The source is right here.
Adolphus Bush. I'm a co-founder of Teal Cannabis out in St. Peter's, Missouri. That's where we're located. We manufacture the Teal brand, the High Five brand, and then soon to be the Kush brand as well.
What's it like coming into a town where like your name's on everything?
Well, I was born and raised here. I moved out to Colorado in 2009. I went to school at Colorado State University in Fort Collins. I graduated in 2013, which was pretty perfect because we went recreationally legal January 1 of 2014. So right out of college, I got to learn from some of the best in the industry, working for different companies out there for about 8 years. And then I wrote applications in 2019 for medical cannabis here in Missouri, and I was awarded a couple manufacturing licenses. So I moved back in 2020, and now I'm home. To answer your question, it's,
I'm like, you dodged that like a mayor, bro. I'm like, oh, you're gonna be the next mayor. I'll be like, that was such a straight into sales. I'm like, that's smart. I'm like straight into sales, dodged it. Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, it's, I guess growing up here, it was kind of normal for me, only because I was born into it.
Because you don't know anything else, and, I guess. Yeah, your name has always been on the stadium. That's crazy to think about.
Exactly. So for me, it was kind of normal, but I know with having that last name, there's a lot of negatives that come with it. Like, well, there's a lot of positives.
What are the negatives? I only think that my ego only lets me think of the positive stuff. So I'm just like, that's gotta be cool, like driving around, you're like, oh yeah, that's
well,
fine.
Well, first of all, my first name's Adolphus. So growing up, you know, when I was in school, I mean, especially at a younger age, and they would make you go around the classroom and tell your name, and I had to say Adolphus, and everyone in the class started laughing. So that was probably the hardest when I was a little kid.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
But growing up, you know, especially getting into cannabis, a lot of people think that, you know, I'm just some rich trust fund kid who got in cannabis and used daddy's money to start a business, which is the complete opposite, actually.
I've been on guys like you, you got something to prove. You know what I mean? That's why.
Yeah. I mean, there's.
But I didn't mean to cut you off, though. You're in the middle of something.
No,
I think you got something to prove this. I'm like.
To a certain extent, you know, I feel like I was born with a drive to start something of my own. And I feel like there may be something to prove as well, or at least it feels like that, because
when people call you that, when people say that about you, I mean, they underestimate an opponent, I guess. Like, I mean, in business, I guess. But I'm just saying, like, I can see that, like, just being like, I'll just prove you wrong. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Like, sure. Every time I'm like, I'm going to do something, they're like, no, you're not. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I'll just send you the video.
Exactly.
So it's cool, man. Like, so was it a lot to live up to? Like, just like Anheuser-Busch and all that? Like, being like, is it a lot to live up to, like, legacy wise?
It has been, for sure. No question about it.
Like, out the womb, were you competing? Or, like, was it like a.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's such a big family. A lot of people don't understand kind of the dynamic of my family and how big it is. There's not many of us that, I guess I shouldn't say of us, but the generation above mine. So, like, my dad, my aunts and uncles, they get along anymore, just because when the sale happened in 2008, I was in high school. But the sale happened, and it wasn't necessarily what everyone in the family wanted. And how it went down created a lot of turmoil in the family, from one sibling to the next in the generation above mine. So again, like I said, my dad and his siblings. And it leads to a lot of bad relationships. And unfortunately, it leads to me not knowing very well a lot of my cousins, who I would like to know a lot better. But because our parents hate, I shouldn't say the word hate, but because they've gotten in fights in the past and they don't talk to each other anymore, it really removes the next generation from being able to hang out regularly as cousins, like cousins should. So that's frustrating.
How do you think you could fix that? About that? I love that you care about that.
Oh, we're trying to, for sure. Good. I think there's cousins. Yeah, there's cousins in the family that are definitely putting an effort in to try to get the family together more, our generation specifically, and try and mend some of those relationships.
Yeah, no, I think that's important. I think that's super important.
Yeah.
That's an honest answer too. I appreciate that. Like,
But
yeah, no, so like, it's gotta be crazy, like, being attached to something like that, because you can't just like be a failure. You know what I mean? You can't, with like, you mean in this town, you could somewhere else, you could go to like Florida for the rest of your life or something, I guess, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe, arguably. But even then, I mean, mistakes, was that you as a kid, like a TMZ and shit like that?
That was me, yes.
Yeah. A mistake as a kid gets you in TMZ. So I don't know if you could escape it, really, you know? So it's like one of those things, like.
Exactly.
Because, like, I mean, that was crazy, too. Like, I mean, that I saw that, like, a kid drinking. I'm like, didn't everybody drink when they're kids?
It's
like,
yeah, that's the thing. I mean, it was a mistake.
So public, though, that everything you do, so you have to hold yourself to a different standard almost. You're, like, scrutinized more.
Exactly, yeah.
Which I think is a lot. I don't think people that insult, like, the trust fund idea, I don't think they understand anything that you have to do or, like, what you have to deal with, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just a different set of struggles.
I
feel as if.
That was pretty innocent, too. You know, we were 17. We were right across the river in Illinois.
Yeah.
And it was just a couple high school.
You were drinking beers or something?
And we were drinking Natty Lights.
Yeah. And that made the news.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
It made TMZ. It made the news.
Yeah. And I'm like, everybody's been an idiot kid, you know, like on my hope anyway. Like,
yeah.
When you're a kid, you challenge things. Like that. Like,
yep. Yeah, 17, playing a little beer pong with Natty Light. And the next thing you know, we're all going to jail. So
that's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy. You think, and that makes you a target too, because of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's
for sure.
So how many 17-year-olds was drinking, playing beer pong somewhere? Not that I'm condoning that, but I'm just,
yeah.
I don't want to be responsible for condoning that, but
yeah, I'm not condoning that either.
But I was saying, everyone's been 17, you know, it's like, that's just like some, I don't know, it's just like when you're like under a microscope, like it's easy to like criticize people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like the same people that criticize couldn't take it back, I don't think.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. I've seen like people in the public and stuff like that. And that's why I don't know. It's just like, I have to think about that too, just like in a different way. You know, I think it's just like, I don't know, just like what you're held up to. You have a huge responsibility, I think, though. And I think that, dude, it's cool seeing you get into this. But we're going to say, like, what was your opinion on the sale of that company and stuff like that? Like, as a manager for Missouri and stuff like,
you know, at that time, it was a shareholder-run company. You know, it was still a family-run company, and everyone who worked there at, you know, 2008 or before knew how much of a family-run company it was, specifically the culture, even though the shareholders owned the majority of the company at that time because it was such a large company. It was still run by my uncle, August 3rd, and he kept it, you know, he made the decisions. It was still very much a family-run company. And unfortunately, the board decided, you know, when that number came across the table from InBev, that it was a good decision for the company. We had no, at that time, we didn't really have a big part of the decision.
What's your opinion there? Like, is it good or bad for you or your family? Like, just you personally?
I mean, I would have loved to, I guess, at least dipped my toes into potentially working for the family company.
You think you'll get it back?
No.
Should buy low. It's like when they fuck it up, you should just buy low. Like let them fuck it up. Give you all, you know what I mean? Just like they're not doing very well running it. Yeah. I think. I mean, since the sale hasn't been that good.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, everyone sees it.
And I think that's the biggest thing that was really changed after the sale. I think the culture of the company changed. And it was no longer a family-run company. And most people will tell you that the culture really changed and it's just not the same company or atmosphere to work in anymore.
Yeah. You should take it back. Different. You should take it back one day with cannabis money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, we need to eliminate 280E and really have some we've got a lot of growing to do before that can happen.
Yeah. No, it seems like a complicated industry, man. It's cool seeing start the same way. I mean, any company starts, you know, kind of just like an idea and goes into the government. It's just kind of cool seeing it executed. Because people know about your brand everywhere. I mean, like in Missouri, it seems like, I mean, I don't out people, but I know a lot of people sort of concentrate and stuff. Like,
yeah,
I don't want them like sure. Their boss or their job. Like, that motherfucker's smart.
Yeah.
But.
What we did a really good job of in the beginning was kind of what I had to do in Colorado for years, only because companies were in the beginning stages of a new recreational market and the first recreational market. And, you know, I spent long days working for other companies, doing sales for other companies and hitting phone calls hard, you know, 50, 60 phone calls every day.
They don't tell us about business. That's all business is. That and lunches, man. Like,
yeah.
It's like, just go. Yeah. Sorry. But yeah, people need to hear that. Like starting businesses. I think it's a lot of the job.
And, you know, I think I took a similar model in the way that I structured my company here in terms of getting the brand name out there, getting boots on the ground in the beginning. Me and my COO, you know, we made all the deliveries for the first 9 or 10 months of the company's life. So we would switch off every single day. And the reason we thought that was so important is because we were able to meet the retail staff at every single store that we delivered to for the first 8 or 9 months while we were launching product into the market. And there's not many other brands that do that. I don't know if there was another brand at all that did that. And it's a great way to show people, hey, the owners of the company really care about it. They're really passionate about the plant. They're actually driving the orders here and delivering the orders to our stores. So I think that helped us out a lot in the beginning.
That is cool.
And we always focus on, you know, we're a standalone manufacturer. So we focus on quality because that's what we want to focus on, but that's also what we have. You know, we have manufacturing, we're buying the best quality material from other cultivators to make our products.
Yeah.
And for us to dial in all of our processes and make the best extracts that we can and the best edibles that we can and other delivery methods as well. You know, those are our core values because that's what we have, you know, treat our employees well, you know, and produce quality product that makes our employees want to work for such a great company because they enjoy it just as much as we do. You know, it's a big passion of theirs. It's a huge passion of mine. I was reading the Cannabis Bibles when I was 13 years old. You know, I really found the cannabis plant to be extremely interesting from when I was a young age, which I probably shouldn't, you know, admit on camera, but I, you know, I had my mom buy the Cannabis Bible. Sorry, mom, but the Cannabis Bible books for me, you know, at Barnes and Noble when I saw them when I was probably 13 years old. So it's been an interest of mine for a long time.
That's awesome. And I wonder if like, that's how, like when I read the Anheuser-Busch story, that's what it seems like the story was with beer. It was like, it's like, because I think it's like a rebel thing and then it becomes legal. And like, you know, like you guys are like the pioneers of that. So it's interesting seeing the same exact story.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of an oversaid story, but I think it's very true though. So it just seems like when you're saying that, I was picturing this probably what happened with beer at one point with you guys.
Absolutely.
So you know, that would be more of your genetics and stuff to start another company and go into this than it would be to work for a company 4 generations in, to be honest.
Yep.
Like exactly. Or 5, I guess, sorry.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, it's almost like, that's crazy. Like just thinking about that, I can't just see the vibe. It's crazy. Cause like, yeah, you'll probably do really well in this, man. You already are obviously, but I think it's only bigger. And like the way, like, I mean, for people like tell a little bit about the legacy of your company for people that are break it down for people that are like not from St. Louis. There's some people not from St. Louis. I feel like I'm speaking a lot of things that are obvious to people from Missouri or St. Louis, but like explain yourself to like people, the national people, like what a fucking, so they understand what I'm saying. Like, I guess like,
yeah.
Be easier.
In terms of the background story. And,
yeah,
and
just a little bit. You don't have to dwell on it. You're probably tired of talking about it.
Well, I mean.
It's just interesting as dudes. So family is interesting. So.
Well, thanks. That's why I appreciate it. I mean.
It's probably, probably talk about it all the time.
But, you know, we talked about it a little bit earlier, but I went to school out in Colorado. I started at CSU, Colorado State University in Fort Collins in 2009. I just so happened to time it perfectly and then graduated at the end of 2013. and we went recreationally legal January 1 of 14. In college, we were growing in our basement. We had one of my roommates fresh out. He actually lived on my freshman dorm, the same floor that I lived on. And then he moved into the first house that we got my sophomore year. And he was a patient caregiver. He was 18 years old. And back then, the model before we went recreational and medical was most stores sourced all of their cannabis from these patient caregivers. So people growing at home, they had a certain number of patients attached to their patient caregiver license that they could grow for. And they would grow a certain amount of plants at home. They would bike, literally, the guy who I lived with would use his bike and put it in a backpack, bike it up to one of the local dispensaries. They would look at it under a microscope or even just like a magnifying glass, and just to identify it, make sure there were no microbials on it, et cetera. And then they would offer a price per pound, and it was legal. He was a patient caregiver. He was growing for patients. They shopped at that location, and he was taking their cannabis up to the store to sell it to the store so they could go in there and buy it. So interesting market and how it worked back then. I learned a lot about it back then, just growing in our house, legally growing in our house. And then from there, worked for BioTrack THC. I was selling software in the industry. I was a bud tender for about a year at a dispensary chain called Lightshade. I worked for Keef Cola, which you've probably bought a Keef Cola.
A million of them. Million of them, bro.
Awesome company.
Oh, dude, bro. So I have to go out for a second, man. Like, you worked for that company?
For 3 years, yeah.
Bro, okay. So on the West Coast, they have 100 milligram ones.
Oh, yeah.
So, I was just taking those shots, man, when I'm watching doing comedy shows. I did like 20 states last year. I would drink so many of those Keef sodas, bro. Yeah. That's like, so fan of that company too, bro. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. When I first started working there, it was beginning of 15. I met the owners at the Aspen X Games. Me and a couple college buddies went up there and stayed in like a really cheap hotel outside of Aspen to enjoy the Aspen X Games.
That's cool as fuck.
And I met the owners at a bar, and I was working for them 2 weeks later. And when I first started working for Keef, they were still in glass bottles. They didn't have the emulsification down, like dialed into a T. So it was still like at the bottom of the glass, you would still have the sediment just kind of sitting down there, and you would actually have to kind of not shake it, but turn it upside down a couple times to get everything to homogenize with inside the glass bottle.
Right. Yeah.
And the glass bottles were also heavy as hell. Like we were having.
They felt stronger. They felt strong. When I cut through, Colorado had those too, I think, didn't they? Like, didn't they have Kush Coles in Colorado too?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Keef Coles, my bad.
Yeah.
My bad. Yeah. They used to, you bring me back, man, because the glass was like stronger. Like, wasn't it?
We were making 100 milligrams back then, like, because
that's right. Yeah. It was,
and
okay.
We still are, because Colorado is set up to where
that's right.
A medical patient can have a single serve of 100 milligrams. You can also go over 100 milligrams per edible under a medical license, but recreational, you can.
Those early Keef sodas, bro. Those are great. They're still great, but they're early. Yeah. Dude,
they were strong.
I remember just driving the mountain. I mean, I shouldn't. Yeah. But I remember like drinking those in the mountains, you know, like it was just fucking, I mean, it's crazy up there, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, that's awesome, man. I know you're here a little bit. I didn't live there, but I know Colorado a little bit
too. Colorado, I mean, they have great market to work in. You learn a lot. They use Metric as well. And we use Metric here. Metric is our seed to sale tracking software system, or that's what, you know, statewide track and trace system is what Missouri calls it. Essentially tracks a plant from 8 inches tall until it's sold to a consumer. So they know every step of the way where that product is, essentially.
Yeah.
And it's a great, again, Colorado was a great state to learn in.
Yeah, yeah. That's
a lot of people don't really know the grind of what we were going through back in those days, because we could deliver in our own cars, which was great. As long as my name was on the manifest and my car information was on the Metric manifest, I could deliver in my own car. But I was managing with one other rep 560 stores in the state. So we each had about 280 stores. So we were.
Congrats on that, man.
It was just a lot, you know, it was a lot of work. We were delivering our own product. We were making hundreds of phone calls a week. We were visiting as many stores as we possibly could across the entire state throughout the year, and hit all the stores. But there were just so many more stores than there are in Missouri right now.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
It was a grind. I mean, we were on our phones nonstop all morning and then out on the streets the rest of the day. And again, like I said, we could deliver our own products. So we were also delivering a lot of our products.
That's crazy. So that's like super grassroots. Yeah. Like, it's crazy. So you wrote like legality wave. Like, it's that's crazy seeing that. That's awesome, man. Like, I mean, that's the time to get into. Right now is the time, especially in Missouri, right? You get about 5 years to make millions of dollars, probably. before eights are like well, $8 and shit. That's the only thing I worry about.
That's the issue.
Like
though,
Washington, like I'm going to like Washington, get like so many eights, like $4, $8. Yeah. It's like,
yeah.
But right now people are still paying, you know, a decent dollar and stuff.
Missouri is a limited license state, which is great. Helps. Yeah. And the reason it helps so much is because we all pay 280E taxes at the end of the year, which we're not allowed to write off anything other than cost of goods sold. So what does it take to actually produce every unit of product within our facility? If it's not a specific factor of making that specific product, we can't write it off at the end of the year. So no marketing
federally,
expenses.
Right? You can do it on state, but not federal.
So yeah, well, 280E is a federal tax law that doesn't allow us to write any of that off. So really, we can't write any of it off, not even on the state level either.
What's a good way to get that changed? Like, what would you?
Well, we're hoping for, so this year, rescheduling cannabis wouldn't be how that is eliminated. So rescheduling it from Schedule 1 to a Schedule 3.
Okay.
That would eliminate 280E. That would allow cannabis businesses to be taxed at a normal level. We're taxed so heavily right now that a lot of people looking in, like a lot of people who aren't in cannabis that are looking in that don't understand 280E, they think companies are just raking in millions of dollars when that's actually the complete opposite of what's going on. A lot of companies, and what you'll see, especially at the end of this year. So we went recreational last year. Everyone saw inflated numbers for a period of time. So now you're having to pay that tax, you're having to pay that huge tax bill this year on last year's numbers. And revenue's back down to a certain degree for everyone this year. So you're having to set aside a lot of cash every single month to make sure that you can pay that bill at the end of the year. And 50, if not more than 50% of every company will have to do a capital call or will have to do a raise to pay their taxes just because that tax rate is so high.
And if they're more accountable for tax dollars, I'd probably be with that, to be honest. I mean, not with it that badly, but... Yeah. I mean, I'd be way more pro-tax if, like, I saw results from it. You know, it's like, sure. I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy to see that. So, I mean, how can people vote that out? Do you need people to write that out? Or, like, what's that's like a
It's at the federal level right now. So it's, Department of Justice and DEA, they have to kind of in favor of it right now. So a lot of people are optimistic that things are going to change this summer.
And then you just ride that out, too. That's just the next part of the ride, you know?
Exactly.
Because, I mean, it's kind of grinding. Well, no one cares about weed at all right now.
The good part about will just be able to put money back in their companies and grow, you know, grow internally as opposed to going out every time you want to launch a new product, every time you want to, you know, expand your facility even just a little bit.
Yeah.
You got to go out and raise more money. And, you know, investors don't like to see that.
Yeah.
I don't like to see that. I would rather be able to grow our company and our brands through our cash flow, but it's extremely hard to do right now.
So tell me a little bit about the company. Like I don't know these details. If it's too much time, I mean, don't feel obligated. But so what is this? What is this? Like, do you have stores also? I know you're in stores.
We don't.
Okay, so you're just in a bunch of. But what's your range? Are you in Missouri or where else? Where are you at right now? Where all can people get to? I mean, show some products here so people know what we're talking about. Where all can people get like stuff like this? What states, cities, and type like?
You know, so. I was in Colorado with a brand out there. So after Keith Cola, I moved over to a company called Pure Greens. Pure Greens was a vertical operator up in Salida, Colorado. And they actually allowed me to launch my first brand through their infrastructure, meaning I didn't need a cannabis license out in Colorado. I didn't need my own infrastructure. What I did was I took a salary cut from what I was making at Keith Cola, moved to a company called Pure Greens up in Salida, Colorado. And they allowed me to launch my brand through their infrastructure. I also helped them with sales and brand and product development for their brands. So it was kind of it was a two-way street.
Where can people get the stuff? I mean, if you're watching this, where can they purchase this, but more or less?
Like, yeah, so the brand that I started in Colorado, I brought that back in 2022.
So it's still selling in Colorado also?
No, not anymore.
Okay, is Missouri right now?
Yes,
okay.
So brought that
Missouri
brand back.
I like that better.
That was my first brand. That's ABV Cannabis Co.
I saw you in the company.
Yeah, that'll be rebranded to Kush Cannabis. So my last name with a K, so KUSCH. That'll be
instead of Bush, it's gonna be Kush.
Yeah, exactly. So that'll be launching.
Can you get Anheuser Kush?
we messed around with.
Sorry, I didn't know if that's just a weird question.
No, I know we've.
That'd be such a great.
We've done a lot of. I did a trademark and infringement analysis on a bunch of different names back in the day.
Yeah.
And they pretty much told me no to about 99% of them.
If it's your last name.
I mean, this month. this bud's for you.
Oh my god.
The tagline, this bud's for you, the Budweiser tagline.
I mean, yeah.
It doesn't get much better than that.
Dude, not at all.
If I can
You're
use
a
that
fucking
one,
genius, bro. No, yeah. No, not at all, bro. That's great, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So these products in particular, and where I was going with that was
everybody says you have the best dabs, by the way.
Well, thank you.
Everybody, like, that's what people say. A lot of people say that. Yeah.
I love to hear that. But ABV, my first brand, brought it back to Missouri. That is packs of pre-rolled joints. Again, that's being rebranded to Kush, and that'll be our cost conscious line again.
Sounds like Kush beer.
Kush beer. Yeah, we need to make a Kush just drink of some sort.
You can spell it your own way. That's crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
We have a million companies on this. I mean, this Teal's already a good one too. Like, I think people do it like the extracts. What I hear the most about, those are stirrables. I've heard about those.
Yeah.
My wife, you guys sent me these at one point.
Yeah.
My wife tried them, not me. Yeah. She got to me before I did, bro. Yeah. Trust me. I wanted to be like these dissolve in your like water drinks or whatever else. Like, it's pretty cool. I'm familiar with everything, but I definitely smoked the concentrates, and like that's what I hear most about too. Like,
hell yeah, okay.
That was crazy. Like, then you have like a better quality. Like, it sticks better too.
It doesn't go bad
all the time. Like, a lot of people, if you smoke like they're called concentrates, not that. It's like you smoke like concentrates, like they get like all gooey and weird and bad and stuff after like I don't know. If you have a bunch of these, you know what I mean, if you have like one of them, whatever. Like, we get like. You could have a bunch of these, like 30 of them or something like that. They're going, they're melting and being weird. These don't do that as bad.
Yeah, I would suggest definitely keep extracts in the refrigerator. Some people even keep certain extracts in the freezer as well. Like,
so it's user error.
Well,
no, it is. You just made me realize.
Depending on how quickly you consume them. I mean, if you're consuming them quick, you can leave them out. They're in an airtight container. I wouldn't do it for a long period of time.
But, yeah.
I've never
seen the joints for pre-rolls. Can I open this?
Yeah, for sure.
I've never seen you guys pre-rolls.
Unfortunately, all this packaging, just so everybody knows, I mean, all this packaging is what we love. You know, we love this informational sticker on the front of this. We have to change all of our packaging now come September 1. So all of this packaging will look different starting on September 1 in dispensaries. Push down and turn.
I'm too dumb. All right, cool. Yeah, no, that's a big joint too. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So those are your pre-rolls and stuff?
That's they cool. are, yeah.
Those are bigger than most. Are these like 1 grams or what are these?
Yeah, that's a 1 gram.
That's bigger than 1 gram. That looks pretty nice quality wise.
It is. It is. So for our pre-rolls, you know,
should we smoke it in an office
space? Well, I mean, like, if they'll allow us.
I don't think they care. This is an old bank, you know. It'd be
there. Yeah, I see some sort of vent up there.
That's been a way, yeah. That's a big joint though. That's a big pre-roll. Yeah. That's awesome. What I care about as a company. Like, you could like. You're like the owner, so you have to like think of all these, like you're more into your company. Like, yeah, you have to be, because you're like making it happen.
Yep.
So you know more details and stuff like that. But like as a consumer, I'm just like love seeing that. Like that's a great pre-roll, man.
And we perfect them, you know. Every single pre-roll looks exactly like that. It's not like
great.
The one that I'm giving
that's
you
great.
I made look better. You know, we're up against the big cultivators. The big cultivators have byproduct that they're not gonna use for, you know, because it's not very jar appealing, or maybe they have a lot of, you know, trim type of material that they want to put in a joint and just be able to use that and sell it as a consumer product. Now, there is a market for that. People who are looking for really, really cheap pre-rolls. All of our pre-rolls, you know, we're buying whole flower material, some of the most premium whole flower material from cultivators, and we're putting them into our, you know, we're grinding it, we're sifting the stems out, and we're putting that material into our pre-rolls because, again, we have to focus on quality. There's a lot of people that are not focusing on quality because they have a lot of product that they're producing and they have to get rid of it.
We just see stuck up, bro. We just see super stuck up. You have to have the best stuff for the best price. And that's just in it. You have to,
yeah.
Or they'll know. And like,
yeah. Yeah. And that's our goal. You know, we hope that everyone feels like we've just gotten better and better and better the 3 or 4 years that we've been in Missouri now. And I think our products have just really gotten.
Did you make the logo?
I did. So, well, I had the name on paper, and our marketing company, a company called HLK, based out of downtown St. Louis, has some amazing designers. they took what I had on paper, and they created the Teal and the Hi-Fi brand. So I can't say I created that logo,
yeah.
But I came up with the name Teal, came up with the name Hi-Five.
What was the reason behind the name Teal?
So Teal is actually named after the green-winged teal duck. So on this shirt, you'll see
that. What's that after the video?
So yeah, we just launched our e-commerce platform. People can find it on our social media page, in the bio on our social media page. But Teal is named after a green winged teal.
That's pretty dope.
Where we're located in Missouri, the farm that our facility sits on, has been in the family since 1910. We're in the Mississippi Flyway. I mean, we're in the Mississippi Flyway right here. But our farm is used for, we preserve the land down there for animals like ducks, like geese, when they're migrating down south from Canada down to South America. There's hundreds of thousands of ducks and geese in our area that stop to feed and to rest before they continue to travel down south.
So, is that part of your childhood?
It is.
It seems sure. Like that's how much you love that. Like, you really love something. Like, you seem like you really love that. That's
cool. I mean, and you can see that in Anheuser-Busch marketing from back in the day. Anheuser-Busch used a lot of animals. My family has just been ingrained into me. But
well, you guys own Grant's Farm, don't you?
We do. Well, the family does.
That's badass. Do you like this? Yeah. Yeah, man, that's awesome.
Yeah,
Grant's Farm. How did that happen? You guys bought it from Grant, like Grant's family or something?
So I would probably butcher the story a little bit if I told you exactly when it was bought and by who.
My great grandparents. Like, yeah. What's your great grandparents and grandparents? I'm like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Like, no, I totally understand.
Yeah. You can see like how much animals and just nature and preserving habitat and
the Clydesdales are big too. I mean, that's a legendary kind of like. Someone's asking what dispensaries you're in too. Like, what disposal are they in?
So we're in. At one point in time, I would say we're in probably 80% of the dispensaries throughout Missouri. This year, there's something called, well, reciprocity is a word, but reciprocity is what is going on right now in this industry. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of consolidation going on. There's a lot of bigger groups with a lot of money ever since the state eliminated the Missouri ownership law that have come in and brought hundreds of millions of dollars with them or tens of millions of dollars with them, and they've been buying up almost all the retail stores in the state. So by the end of this year,
that's crazy.
Yeah. By the end of this year, we'll probably see 60 to 70% of all the dispensaries in Missouri owned by five or six different groups. Between five different groups right now, there's about 100 to 120 dispensaries that they own already, and they're still buying. So what's happening is those guys are growing so quickly, a lot of them using debt, a ton of money to pay back, and high interest rates. And they're needing to make sure they, make as much money as they can to slowly start to pay back that debt. So the conversations, the reciprocity conversations are, you buy my products and put them on your shelves, and I'll buy your products and put them on my shelves. And if kick out, the smaller companies.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's frustrating. We are lucky to.
Do you consider yourself a small company or a bigger company?
We are absolutely a small, very small company because we only have two manufacturing licenses, but everything from Teal, everything from High Five, and everything from ABV, soon to be Kush, is manufactured out of our St. Peter's location, the downtown location, which we're really close to right now.
Yeah, I grew up in O'Fallon. I love that. I love it's in the backyard, man. Same county. I love hearing that, man.
Yep. And we do well as a standalone manufacturer, but we are definitely one of the smaller companies in the state right now. And the reciprocity is certainly hurting our business a little bit right now. And we are being taken off certain shelves just because, hey, we don't, essentially the answer is we don't have any room for your products right now. We need to focus on reciprocity and buying these products from people who can also buy our products.
Yeah, yeah.
So that we're ensuring our distribution network. But that's not necessarily what the consumer wants. A lot of the standalone manufacturers who focus specifically on quality, that's what the consumer wants. And the consumer will get what they want. I don't know how many years and how many casualties will take place before that actually happens.
Yeah.
But we're here to stay. And by that, I mean, it's going to be a struggle for us this year just because we have employees that we want to make sure they have a place to work. It's going to be a struggle just because we have to find different ways to make money other than just selling our branded products to, dispensaries. Meaning we could go out and if a large company wants us to roll their pre-rolls and do some white labeling, we can do that in-house. We can find a different stream of revenue to help our top line revenue right now. We can go out and do some toll processing, meaning we can take people's material, extract the oil from it and send the oil back to them to use. Maybe they don't have the same type of extraction method that we do, and they want to use our extraction method to make them some bulk product that they buy back from us. So there's other ways to get creative and create other streams of revenue right now to keep our company afloat while we deal with this reciprocation. But unfortunately, we will probably see a lot of companies go out of business this year just because of that reciprocity that's going on.
No, that's crazy. That's crazy to think about. Like, do you think a lot of local companies are going to last, like a lot of Missouri companies?
You know, some of the Missouri companies that are not maybe as much Missouri anymore. Maybe they started Missouri and now they've brought in a lot of outside money because
and that's cool too. I just want people from here.
For sure.
I would Smarty's got a lot of money and I want to see if they're in Missouri. I don't know. In my opinion.
You know, if it was locally owned dispensaries, like Missouri owned dispensaries, unfortunately a lot of those people have sold their dispensaries to the bigger guys who have come in and bought up all their dispensaries. Some people were caught up in the same type of situation where it was they got to the end of the year, they realized, hey, I don't have the money to pay my 280E tax bill.
Nice. Yeah.
I need to sell my dispensary. And that's why.
Probably set up for them to fail.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
That's what you're fighting through, I guess, too. That's crazy.
For sure. Yeah.
That's crazy to think about.
Yeah. You know, dispensaries don't really have anything to write off. That's why it is smart if you can create a cool brand and people like your merch and people want to buy bongs and pipes and papers and lighters and
you can mail that.
Puffcos. Well, if you have an area where they can buy that in your dispensary, that is not a cannabis product. So that is something that can be written off.
Right.
Whereas you almost.
Oh, so it counts as a tobacco product, you're saying, like pipes and stuff or something? Or what do you mean?
Well, meaning it's not a cannabis product. Like it doesn't have THC in it.
Just cannabis is okay included.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Exactly. So
that's good. Yeah, it's like the gold rush, right? People selling the shovels made the money.
Yeah.
In my opinion, they're like, oh yeah, go get rich, kid.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you one thing: the attorneys are making all the money in this. Yeah. 100%.
Dang. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot.
They always do.
Yeah.
They always do.
Sure. That's for sure.
That's crazy to think about. I mean, but I mean, it makes sense. I mean, you want to definitely stay on the side of the walls and stuff and be free and like follow all laws you can. You know, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Like somebody's saying, what Brian is saying. Can you talk about raising money and how you went about it in such a risky business? Like raising money in a risky business, basically.
Yeah.
Was that hard?
Oh my God, it's incredibly hard.
Your sales came in, your cold calling came in probably, right?
Well, not really. So I went through, you know, one thing that I did when I came back into Missouri was, you know, sit down with my mom and go through a list of people that she knows that she thought may be interested in cannabis, who may have an interest in investing.
Genius.
You know, we only had one manufacturing license to build out. So if you have a cultivation and a manufacturing license and five stores that you're about to build out, you know, your raise for that is north of $30 million. Your raise for just the cultivation, if you're building it out to a top tier cultivation, like the best of the best, you'll spend $30 million just on your cultivation. But add a manufacturing in there, maybe another $5 million, and then add five stores in there. And you're talking, you know, $40 million plus. You can do it more effectively than that, but that's a big raise for one manufacturing facility. You know, people raise between
what do you make
$2 million
off that,
and $5 million.
So say you raise $40 million. What do you make off that though? Like,
oh, it takes years to pay it back. I mean, most of that is done. It really depends. It's mostly a combination of debt and equity. So you have equity investors who come in who are hoping to get a return on their investment, but are also hoping to get distributions. At some point in the future, because it's very hard in this industry to make distributions, especially when you're paying 280 taxes. To answer your question, I would say that it was very hard to raise money, but I probably presented to 250 people within a matter of 8 months. And the amount of documents and the amount of space it would take up on a computer would essentially make a laptop crash, because you have these packets essentially with all of the investment information in there. And even if someone is a little bit interested, you know, I went through probably 200 and something versions of the same document that I had saved on my computer. My computer eventually just, it was a MacBook Air. So eventually it got to the point where it just wouldn't even turn on anymore. But monitoring all that is very, very hard. Keeping up with the investors and all of the presentations that you have to do. I went and held like there was a racket club that a friend of mine belongs to, and they have a conference room and they have some high net worth individuals. They go to that racket club, and I, you know, met a lot of them at a networking event. I asked someone if I could rent out the conference room, and I presented to a larger group of high net worth individuals. I presented to a number of different people. I mean, from my network, from other people's networks, it's a long and very stressful process. And my number wasn't even that large. You know, if I had to go out and raise $20 or $30 or $40 million, that really gets the blood flowing, and that's really stressful. So
yeah, no, it just sounds like you just make it happen. You have to find a way to do it no matter what.
You got to find a way to do it. Yep.
No, I noticed that with your mind. Your mind seems like that. We're trying to set up like the good spot in this building, and like I saw like how you go. You had that. You're like, you're gonna do anything to get what you need to do, like, done. I noticed that about your energy, and I think that's good.
Thank you.
I mean that's what America is. You know,
yeah.
America's like a bunch of guys like you making shit happen, man.
Yeah.
That's what
we
need.
And I mean,
I think we need that right now. I mean,
it's harder in this industry too, because just so everybody knows, I mean, an interest rate for cannabis, if you find a 12% interest rate, take it. You're most people out there that are, you know, whether it's private equity or venture capital or have, you know, a traditional loan, you're talking 15 to 25% interest on any money that you're borrowing. And most companies are started off borrowed money. You know, most companies are started with debt. You know, most people can go to a Wells Fargo and show a certain, you know, net worth on a piece of paper and be like, okay, I need to borrow that much money. And they're like, okay, here you go. 6 to 8%.
Yeah.
You know, and for us, it's 15 to 25%. Now think about raising $30 million at a 25% interest rate. You can't do it. I mean, you can never pay it back.
Yeah. That's,
especially
yeah.
in this industry. I mean, you would just sink your company into the ground.
100%.
So a lot of people, it's a combination of finding the right debt and not that much of it. And then also having a good equity portion to it as well. People coming in who see the vision, who, you know, believe in it, and who want to come in and own some equity.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And so
yeah.
you made that really caveman point. It made a lot of sense. Like, and like personally, I try to like make businesses that don't cost any money at all, and then just make money. Like that's where I'm like a minimalist. Like how we're set up with this stuff, but like with products, you can't do that.
Right.
With absolute products, you can't do this. You have to have packaging and the product and like the labor and stuff. I mean, it makes it. But entertainment's different. Where you just like open a laptop and be like, okay, you know, it's like that's why I like the minimalist aspect of it. Basically, just like But also, I mean, weed's one of the coolest things right now, and I'm glad we could talk about it on camera.
Yeah,
you know?
So am I.
I've been waiting. Like, how old are you?
I'm 33.
33, okay. Yeah, I'm 37. So
23.
Yeah, most of my life, this was like so taboo and stuff. So it's like crazy. Like, we're seeing companies starting off with this and stuff. We have a bunch of questions if you're down with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
People could read the whole thing, but he's basically just asking, are you willing to help minority marijuana licenses break into the industry? It's mainly this question. It's massage.
Well, first, yeah, the answer to that is absolutely. You know, one thing that I'm a little bit worried about, I guess, would be the micro business licenses in the state of Missouri. I just don't know if they structured them properly. You know, it's tough because they can't sell any product to us, like having one of the licenses that was issued in 2020, and we can't sell any product to them. So when you have a micro business set up, obviously your cost to produce is typically going to be a little bit higher than our cost to produce. And additionally, like obviously if you're a micro business and you're going up against the largest vertical operator in Missouri, under one of the licenses that was issued in 2020, that's going to be a really hard battle. You know, I would recommend if you're a micro business license, find your niche, focus on premium quality, and again, find your niche and bring in as many of those true cannabis connoisseurs into your store that you can. Not only are they going to consume the most cannabis, but they also like that kind of mom and pop environment. They like that smaller structure focused on premium quality. And I think there's something to be said there. I think some of the micro business licenses will be successful in doing that. But I hope I'm kind of answering your question. Because yeah, I assumed you meant micro business licenses by that. And that is certainly something that Teal is always willing to consult with groups like that, and help them throughout their, you know, beginning path in cannabis.
And then I don't know the terminology in the industry as much, but Route 66 dispensary, or what is that word you said a million times? Stupidly.
Or just, you know, participating in the reciprocity or reciprocation. I'm not really sure where people are right now. I can tell you that we have a lot of amazing partners in Missouri that we hope to never lose. I can also tell you that if people are contributing in or participating in the reciprocity, the reciprocation that's going on, I can't blame them for it, because a lot of them, you know, need to do it to make sure they can keep their employees employed and keep their business running and keep the lights on, essentially. But it is putting a lot of the smaller companies, especially the standalone manufacturers, in a very tough place, where it's going to be hard for a lot of us to survive throughout this year. And we have to get very creative in order to do so. Route 66, old Route 66, they've all been very great partners to us. Route 66, old Route 66 is a different store down in Springfield. Which was
just, I know there's two different stores. Yeah, I remember like Route, ROOT.
Old Route 66 is in Springfield. They were just bought by Flora Farms, which is one of the big guys. Flora is buying up a lot of dispensaries right now. Old Route 66 has always supported our company very heavily. I'm not positive if Flora is going to continue to carry our products right now or not. Still love them. Hope to do business with them in the future. Route 66 here in the St. Louis area, they are carrying our products. They have supported us. They just recently, probably in the last, I don't know, beginning of this year, maybe December, started carrying our products, which we're excited about. Actually, it's funny because there's a lot of overlap between my years in Colorado and here. The buyer for Route 66 used to be the buyer for Native Roots dispensary chain out in Colorado, and I was selling her Keef Cola for almost 3 years. So now I'm running Teal, and my reps are selling her, or even I was for a while, selling her Teal and High Five products. So kind of comes full circle. They're great people.
Well, yeah, you built a network, and you participate in businesses with that. That's smart. So business is just like everyone, you know, and like it's trading abilities. Yeah. Like, oh wait, you do this? Okay. You know, it's like, that's great seeing that, man. That's what being an entrepreneur is about, man. Like seeing that. I see Missouri people do that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's cool, man. Like, is there anything you want to bring up that has been brought up? Do you think people need to know about, like, yourself or your industry or whatever? I mean,
were talking about it earlier. I think one of the biggest things for me, I feel like just the biggest one of the biggest things to overcome is my name. And we've talked a lot about kind of my family heritage, and, you know, going into any new market, and really I've only operated with a company or with a brand or worked for other people in Colorado and Missouri. But I did a lot of traveling for different companies, especially BioTrack THC. When I was selling that software, I was traveling to California and Oregon and Washington. And for Keef Cola, I was traveling to California and a couple other states as they were moving their brand into other states. And I always just have to overcome the name Adolphus Bush. You know, I was born into this. I have that name.
Is it the Adolph part, or do they know the Bush family stuff as well nationally? Like,
especially Bush is huge.
They know
the name Adolphus
Bush. People know the beer everywhere, though.
People know the beer everywhere.
That's what I was thinking.
Between the names of August Bush and Adolphus Bush, it's, you know, the two most well-known names from the family.
How pissed do people get with the name of Adolphus?
I mean,
people get pissed because, like, swear, World War II, like, Adolphs, like, probably reminds, that's what they throw out. Like, I mean, is that what you get immediately? Like people say, what the fuck, this guy's name's Adolphus?
I get a lot of people, like, accidentally calling me that or writing that in emails. So I kindly correct them that my name's Adolphus and not that. But
that's crazy, bro. I bet that's so crazy to be named that, man. Like,
but the bigger hurdle is just people thinking, oh, it's just some trust fund kid who has a bunch of money from his family who is now starting a cannabis company.
Are you that, though?
That's not. So every one of my family members, I guess, all of my dad and all of his, my dad and his siblings, everything was structured differently. you know, I have not received a dime of the Anheuser-Busch money.
That's important to tell people. That's super important.
And that's what we, you know, that's part of our training, because a lot of people were like, even coming into the Missouri market, a lot of people right out of the gates were like, oh, Teal's owned by Anheuser-Busch, which, first of all, the company was sold in 2008 and I was in high school. I didn't start this company until 2019. So that was 11 years later. So obviously it's not owned by Anheuser-Busch.
It's still Missouri. And then, even if it was a Missouri company, I'd back a Missouri company outside of like InBev now or whatever other, let's say, I mean, an American company.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You're to support really your country and stuff. It's just nuts. Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, I'd support any kind of I don't care if the guy that created that, what's that rental car company, is a billionaire. Like, that guy created a company. I'm like, dude, I'm with you. Missouri, bro.
Yeah.
Like, what is it? Enterprise or something? Enterprise Missouri company? I'm like, okay, dude's from Missouri. More jobs here, more people. So it's like, that's what I'd want.
Exactly.
I'd want, like, you hold somebody down in their success and going after it doesn't make you more successful.
Man. Yeah. Yeah,
That is the biggest
hurdle, though.
Is that when you think you don't deserve where you're at?
Exactly.
Do you think that's what it is?
I think that is what a lot of them think, and
that's crazy.
They probably also think that, you know, it's corporate money coming in. Maybe it's Anheuser-Busch. Maybe it's just a lot of family money, and he doesn't know what he's doing, and he hasn't worked in the industry. But cannabis is all I've ever done.
I think a unit like that's going to make you work harder, though. Guys like that, like I said, always have, that's something to prove, though.
Yeah.
All these guys are just like, okay, I'm going to try it. I'm going to figure this out. And some people are monetized. It's good and stuff. But it's like people like that, like, know, like, someone said nice stream. Thank you.
Yeah.
Just says nice. Great comment. What a great positive comment. That's such a positive comment. But I mean, but guys like you have, like that's what you're up against. You have, like, way more to prove. You know, it's like, you don't have it's only just a mullet and a beard. You don't have, I have a mullet or you have a mullet?
I mean, I've definitely had a mullet in the past. I think I kind of have one going right now.
Oh, okay, so that's you then. Okay.
I typically have a beard, but I just shaved it. I thought I should have shaved it before this. I actually had a wedding shower on Saturday, so that's why I had to shave it.
Yeah. They'll think you're disrespectful or something. It's exactly. Respect in certain circles. Yeah. I can see that. I'm past it where no one asks me that anymore. When it was shorter, they'd be like, can you shave that for, like, whatever? Like, you should always tell someone has a beard they haven't had a beard anywhere in a while. It's like you couldn't get a job. I couldn't get a job.
How do you respond? You just say, you know how long it took me to grow this?
That's what everybody asks me. Everybody asks me that. The same, that's what every single person asks me.
Yeah.
They're like, how long did that take to grow? Every single person will ask me that. Like, when I'm just out and around and stuff, they're like, how long did it take? I never know. I didn't keep track of it, so I'm like a different answer. It's like, I'm like, whatever I think it was at the time.
Yeah.
Because I just, like, I didn't document it.
Yeah.
I would just say
I've never shaved it. I don't know what you're talking about.
Never shaved it.
That's my whole life.
Yeah. Eventually it'll be, keep it going, man. Like, it's a good power move. It's like, it's like everybody else is like wearing suits. And, like, especially in West Palm Beach, everybody's like wearing like a customer service uniform or something.
Yeah.
He's going there like, it's good business hustle.
Yeah.
But has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Someone says, do you like my name? I can't even read what the fuck that. Can you burp on command? Is your name? Do you like my name? I'm like, I guess. I don't know. Is that what it says? I assume. Which of you can burp? That's a question. That's Twitch now. That's great.
I can't burp on command. So I'm out on that one.
I'm the worst circus bear ever. Like, yeah. I can't do that. But no, that is back to seriousness. But I mean, that is really crazy. Like, having to like deal with that. In a way, you know, I mean, it's a luxury and a curse at the same time, almost, like, in business, I think, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, like, the more you'll work and stuff, I mean, the more you'll not get the credit for it. You know what I mean? It'll just be like, oh, yeah, you built all these factories and warehouses, also, like, whatever, wherever it's going. I mean, I imagine if it's a cash crop, it should keep going. I mean, at least down to the price of cigarettes, probably eventually, you know what I mean? But still make money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, this is like a weird spike that happens for like maybe 5 years.
Yeah.
Probably more.
And we talk about that a lot. I talk about that with my team and my, you know, the people who work for me a lot as well. I think everyone knows, or at least I think most people know, that, like, this part of it, the branded side of things, it'll eventually be the most valuable part of the industry. Right now, it's the toughest part to run by itself because, you know, price compression obviously is an issue. What's going on right now with people coming in and buying up all the stores and turning it into almost an oligopoly of a market. That makes it difficult.
I bet the laws change where you don't need a dispensary anymore. I bet it's going to go to gas stations and, like, stuff like that eventually.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it needs to be regulated.
I bet they're going to outbid each other and, like, take over a market, like the dispensary. Say they're going to take over, spend all the money to take over dispensaries.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll always be dispensaries.
Yeah. As long as they can make sure, you know, when it shows up that it's been tested and it's a clean product.
Yeah.
That's what I worry about.
Well, the FDA, I mean, we should be able to trust the FDA first, but then like, I think it should be good, you know?
For sure.
I think definitely, yeah, you don't want to be taking like waste things that people worry about, like bad things like that.
But the branded side of it, I mean, you're creating that brand value, and if you can stand out, and don't get me wrong, it's probably one of the hardest things to do as well, because there's so many brands.
People know your brand though. Already. People know you around here already. Like I just putting the show out. Everyone has a story about one time they met you, and then everybody has like a story about your company.
Yeah.
They have an opinion on it at the very least.
Well, hopefully good opinions for the most part.
I'd say 90%. Yeah. The only thing I can tell you, they said bad, but I don't know if that's fucking, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll tell you later. But I'm saying most, everything else is good. I think literally that's what I'm saying. I think most people, like I said, like people have a story linked to you. Like I think somebody was like on Twitter was like, I was in French class with him.
Oh, really?
So it's just like they'll have, that's what I mean. They have like a story attached to you.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's just being like, well, like a legend, but I mean, around here also too, you know, it's good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good in that regard. I mean, it's a lot of pressure, a lot to live up to, a lot of stuff.
We work hard and we try and get our name out there as much as we can in the Missouri market.
And you're doing it. I mean, people are talking about it. People have heard it too.
Well, awesome. And it's tough because there's not many marketing avenues, typical, like standard marketing avenues that you can use in this industry.
Oh yeah,
Missouri's made it easier than it was in Colorado. We can do things like billboards and, you know, some, I guess to a certain extent, some radio ads. You know, even Enterprise is allowing advertisements for cannabis companies in Enterprise as well, which is great. I don't think Busch Stadium has loosened up on that quite yet, but
you're gonna be able to sell online and stuff. You're gonna be able to sell online soon, and like you're gonna be able to be in different stores. Like, the game's gonna change. Like, dispensaries are just like this weird preliminary thing. Like, I can tell it's just like. Nobody likes showing their ID 7 times. Yeah. As a consumer, I hate dispensaries, but I like products in there. I mean, I still go. I mean, it's like the TSA. I'm still going to fly somewhere.
Exactly.
even if like it sucks the entire time.
Yeah.
You know, but same, that's how I feel about a dispensary. So it's naturally just in business is going to change.
Yeah.
Just because of how, as a consumer, I'm on a consumer level, and I can see it's just going to change.
Yeah.
I guess it's not going to be like that forever. And you'll be able to evolve with that and ride the wave however it goes, I think.
Yeah.
You're already established.
When you have rescheduling, or when you have federal legalization,
that's where we'll go.
Then all of a sudden, you know, cultivations, that's the biggest issue with cultivations. The value people put $15, $20, $30, $35 million into building one cultivation with one license on top of it. And all of a sudden, you know, we go federally legal 2 years from now or whenever it happens. And then you can cross state lines. All of the cannabis is going to be coming from out west where you can grow quality cannabis year round. So it's going to be really hard. And then there will be the craft growers that still remain and that have an absolute premium product.
It'll be like beer,
or lowest cost to produce. I mean, it's one or the other.
You'll have both probably, yeah.
Yeah.
You'll have the cheapest price, like that's how cigarettes are.
Yeah.
Those like nasty cigarettes are like 5 cents for, I don't know how they are now.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like when I was a kid, they're like, be like these like cheap brand of cigarettes would be like Marlboro or a major brand.
Yeah.
And you'll have the same thing with bourbon. I mean, people are like, oh, it's only $30. Fuck that. You know, it's like,
like
that's not $4 million bourbon. I don't fucking want it. I mean, there's some like crazy price for fucking that sip of something.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then, you know, that's how weed is too. Weed's way more snobby.
Yeah.
I think weed's way more snobby than probably the only thing in alcohol that compares to bourbon and whiskey people.
Yeah.
And like wine people, the pretentiousness of that. It's the only thing that's like probably compares to weed.
Yeah. Well, what I like about it, I like, you know, I'm certainly a connoisseur of cannabis and I like the science side of it.
I can tell. Because, I can tell you think about it way more.
Well, and you can have snobby people who really want the best of the best of the best, but you got to also understand the science behind it because there's so many different ways to make high quality, whether it's a solid, meaning like a batter or sugar, or a diamonds and sauce, or any of your extracts, solventless product, you know, a live resin vape cart oil.
What do you use out of these four choices?
Out of these four? All of them, but I mean,
what's your go-to though? I mean, I guess it's situational, I guess.
Honestly, if you would have asked me a year ago, I would have said flower because I've always smoked a lot of flower and that's kind of been my go-to.
So you go to a pre-roll a year ago, you said?
Or pack a bong bowl or like pack my joint or pack my little just spoon pipe that I've had for years that I literally first one I bought in college when I got to Fort Collins.
Cool.
But I've gravitated. We make some, in my opinion, some of the best live resin vapes in the market, as well as concentrates. And I bought a Puffco a couple of years back.
I have a Puffco too.
And they're just so convenient.
Like they're tap thing. Like,
yeah. In
college, whatever color you want to be, they're like, oh, I'm green right now.
Yeah. In college, dabs were so new for me, at least, and for a lot of people out there.
Oh, yeah. They still are kind of.
And they didn't really know the proper etiquette to clean their bangers and to,
oh, yeah.
to, you know, the right temperature. So we were first of all, smoking, you know, concentrates that were pretty dark in color. You know, we were heating
the blowtorch
with a blowtorch.
Dude, remember the blowtorch? That's where it started. That's where the started.
We were heating the nails up probably way too much, you know, and we weren't cleaning it regularly. We didn't
Dude's
know
you
could clean it out after every dab with a Q-tip and ISO pretty regularly. And like, we weren't doing that. We were in college. We were just experimenting with what was new to us, dabs.
Yeah.
And, you know, it wasn't the greatest experience because the blowtorch made it an uncomfortable experience to a certain extent.
The Puffco changed the world.
Puffco changed the world.
Completely. They have like an app on your phone. They have like an app too. Like, you just change the colors. I love that, man. Like,
yeah.
That's like that's the best one, I think. It's just like a tap. I didn't even smoke dabs unless I was like at someone's house. They're doing like a circus trick to like light it or whatever. Yeah. That's like what it felt like. And like now I'm just like, I never did that on my own. I don't even know how to do that. Now I'm just like, tap, tap.
Oh, yeah.
That's like the hardest part is like, it's too easy.
Yeah.
It's just like too easy now. You're just like, oh man, I just smoked like all this shit.
Like, it's such that is definitely, it's got me to kind of transition from smoking more flower to actually smoking more concentrates.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a natural transition for me too, because I've always been hands-on in Colorado for years with the company that I was working for, a couple of the companies, not on a day-to-day basis, but getting hands-on with the extraction processes in Colorado. And so much has advanced since when I was working, you know, Keith Cole in 2015 until now.
Oh, I bet.
And the quality is just light years, you know, ahead of where it used to be, and the flavor and the terpene profiles and the clint, you know, just how pure some of these extracts are, while retaining all of the desirable molecules, the flavor and the effects.
Yeah.
It's just a different experience. I mean, flower is amazing. Still smoke a lot of flower, but concentrates and the way we make them, you know, you can really have almost like a wine tasting type of experience. Just trying all the different concentrates, understanding the terpene profiles of each one.
And the smells too, bro. I still have the smells of different. Yeah. Like some, I don't know, man. Like that's so true. It's really wine like,
Yeah, it is for sure.
That's funny. Like I'm not like that with wine, man, with weed.
Yeah.
Like I know that people are like that.
I hardly ever drink wine.
I'm drinking, but I don't know anything about it. Like I'm more of a tequila guy, probably. But I would drink wine. It's like
tequila's number one for me too.
Is it really?
Oh yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, that's the best, dude. It's the best. I drink like water and tequila. That's
I love sake also. I'm more of a sake guy than I am a wine guy.
If I'm eating Asian food somewhere, I'll get sake.
Sake for sure.
Warmed every time. Like warm rice. I'm like.
Start getting the cold stuff, the unfiltered.
Is it good too?
Good, yeah.
Okay.
I like it.
I've had the flavored stuff. So I just like the natural stuff. So it's like, you want grape sake? Like, the point is that it sucks.
Yeah.
like, that's the point. You know, it's like, I like that taste now. You know, it's like, I don't know. That's good. That's interesting. Sake's really good.
Yeah.
Well, can you get to the alcohol game? Or is that like a bunch of like regulations on that? Like where you put THC in alcohol, or is that just crazy?
No, you can't do that. I don't think
they'll flip out about that.
Yeah, I don't think they'll ever allow it. What a lot of companies have.
They get fatter. You just consume more things. I mean, it's not like you're not going to do that. Like somebody that wants to be stoned and drunk is not going to do that.
Yeah.
They're just going to get fatter.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to drink more this and more that. Or
a lot
more
of people
that.
Have tried to make, and we did it at Keith Cola, actually. We were the manufacturer for Ceria, which is C-E-R-I-A. It was made by the Blue Moon guys, the two guys who started Blue Moon. They came to Keith Cola and they structured an agreement with them to where we were producing that product at Keith Cola and distributing it from there. So they had the beer de-alcoholized at a different facility. They sent it to us. We put it into our mixers. We infused the cannabis into it and then we canned it in our facility. So
that's cool.
It's a good product. You know, Mohai, for example, I think it was Mohai. That Sense and Belief started here in Missouri. Awesome product. The issue is, I think it's more of a novelty right now than it is an actual product that people are going to buy in volume. They're going to buy it
great
once,
point.
They're going to buy it twice, but then they're done with it.
Great point. That's very true.
I think that's why these, you know, the Sturbles products,
you can
mix this into anything. Why not just go buy your favorite beer? Well, I'm not telling anybody to mix beer but go buy your favorite beverage of any kind. It could be your kombucha that everybody drinks every day these days. And then mix it into whatever, your coffee, your kombucha.
So this can even mix the water, though, if I'm not wrong, right? With no taste?
You know, there you will be able to taste
like weed.
A slight, I guess a little bit of a bitter cannabinoid taste, but there's not much taste at all.
I just taste sweet, so that's crazy. Yeah, I would put that in my water if my wife doesn't like snaggle them every time.
Yeah, water. We will eventually make flavored options to flavor your water.
What if this is just as weird to even say on the live stream, but I still feel like what if you had the same thing like those dehydration things have, like the electrolytes with that? Because like that's my problem with edibles. I'll eat them like months on end.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, my calves. I'm like, oh, this. I was like, you have to chug so much water.
Yeah.
Like hitting like a steam room and edibles. I have to do so much water.
Yeah. I mean, so that's a good idea. I mean, I've always been big into just fitness. My mom was huge into fitness when she was younger.
I'm fat, but I work out like 4 hours a day. Like, I'm always doing shit, man. Like, I have to, you know what I mean? You can't tell by looking at me. I'm always I ride a bike to the gym and back. And, then the steam room saw and all that, man. I'm like, dude. And then I'm on edibles while I work out too. Half the times I just like, I like working on edibles. So it's like, man, that's the only thing is like, I cannot keep up with water intake, bro.
Yeah.
It's just like, I have to drink water 24, just nonstop.
I just carry a 32-ounce bottle around with me, and I make sure to try to drink four every day. I've got to remind myself to do it a lot.
And then you got to drink more if you're like doing edibles and fucking steam room and all those like normal amounts like that. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just like a chore.
Yeah.
Or if you just like press a button and be hydrated. Yeah. It's like, or at least feel like it. You know, it's like.
I mean, that is always something I've been thinking about for this product, though.
Yeah.
So
that'd be a good add-on.
A pre-workout, a post-workout. Like recovery.
Just have it all on. Yeah, because working on edibles is so much better.
Yeah. So eventually we will have this product in a tub. Like imagine a pre-workout tub. Like people listening probably know what C4 is. It's like I don't take it because it makes my whole body itch. But it's
pre-workout. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
What's in it is beta-alanine. That's what makes my skin go crazy and it itches like crazy.
I'm too Irish to take stuff like that. I'll be mad at everything.
But we'll have a child-resistant tub like that eventually with a little scooper in it for this powder. So like 1,000 to 2,000 milligram tub.
You just mix it into protein.
So you can mix it into your protein.
Would it taste good protein or taste good protein?
Oh, it tastes fine. You won't even be able to really taste it.
That's hilarious. Why have I not done that?
The taste of the protein will mask the flavor of that.
How have I not done? That's so smart. Like just putting your protein.
I do it a lot.
Your milligrams are chill too. These were chill milligrams, if I remember.
Yeah, so those are 5.
Yeah, that's super chill, which is great. It's like, I mean,
we are about to drop our 25, so.
And those are great too.
Yeah,
but it just depends on what mood you're in, man. It depends on what you're in. Yeah. Like sometimes you don't want to like doubt everything you said since kindergarten. You know, it's like.
Yeah.
But other times you fucking you want to be in a horror film, man. It's, you know what I mean? Like,
that's perfect. Doubt everything you said since kindergarten. Yeah.
That's what it feels like. Like you say to me, it's just like, oh fuck, I shouldn't have said anything ever. Like, you know, I should have never said a word.
Wow, I can relate to that. Yep.
Yeah. That's how it feels, I think. But the fog's just super chill. It's like way back kind of vibe.
Yeah.
I mean, you can take more if you want to. You know what I'm saying? Like, fog is chill.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And they're nice because they hit you fast, but they also they wear off faster.
That's I wouldn't know. Like my wife used all those, so I wouldn't know. So she apparently likes them too.
Well, now you have some more. So.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I'm going to hide those from her. No, she's not watching on Rumble right now. But no, just like, dude, yeah, she tore through. She loved those, man. Like, I try to share all the promo stuff with her. You know, it's like, I'm always like, it's just having a podcast, you know, the perks of it. And she's like, just cool. So it's like, I always like to share all this stuff. She tries to grab real fast too.
These are your favorite though, right?
I haven't tried these. Now your concentrate is like to be real. I think your concentrate.
I just mean podcast with any weed company because then you.
I don't think I've done a podcast with a weed company. I don't think I've had sponsors. I've had a lot of weed sponsors and stuff, but I've never had like a guy. I was interested in you because like your family backing and being from this area.
Yep.
And like just like I mean. And like I've obviously tried your stuff, you have to send it to me. But your concentrates are what I have not tried your carts, to be honest, or your pre rolls. I've not tried that, but I will after this show allegedly. Okay. But like, what I'm saying, like this is what I've tried, and I don't know about what kind or whatever, but I've tried a couple different kinds of your concentrates.
Oh yeah.
And that's like what I hear other people say. Also, that's not just like I'm not the only one saying that. And then I can vouch that I like those a lot.
Awesome.
I'm not gonna lie and act like I've tried everything. So my wife swooped the stirrables, which I was hyped about. Because like I was hyped about putting them in my water, man.
Yep.
So I just drink well water, bros. I'm like trying to drink all the fluoride stuff. So I'm like, you probably tell that by my wood.
Well, you can get creative, though. You can put it in your ramen noodles. You can put it in your soup. You can put it in.
So put it in the broth. Like put it in the fucking.
Yeah. Put it in the syrup of your pancakes and then put it on top of your pancakes. Just sprinkle it on top of a pizza. I did that last night.
Oh my God. How was that?
It's great.
That's so awesome.
You can't taste it.
That's so awesome. Pizza. Yeah. That's so awesome. That pizza just turns into an edible.
Make anything an edible. Yeah.
That's awesome. Dude. Okay, yeah. You guys want to try this? Like, stirrables, like, that's a good call.
Hell yeah.
You need to be able to order stuff online. They need to change a couple of the laws real fast. And you would kill. You're already going. You already are. I'm saying, like, Did they just, like, we just got rid of a couple things, like, this industry would be so easy for everybody to grow in.
Yeah.
Seriously. Yeah. But I feel like, have you anything else you want to throw out before we get on there?
I don't think so. I think we covered pretty much everything. I mean, obviously, you know, chase your dreams. I feel like that's what I've been doing. And a lot of people think it's backed by a lot of family money. And there's a lot of haters out there, but that's not the case at all. And if you work hard enough and, you know, I'm nowhere near where I hope to be in 10 years from now, but just got to put in the hard work. And
I was going to ask you to borrow some money, actually.
Yeah.
I'll wash your windshield on the way out of here. Like, if you have No, but I appreciate him, like, doing his probation by being here and going backwards in his career by being here. I'll sign your papers when you leave. I appreciate it. But thank you all for watching. I know it's like it's a Monday, so I mean, you're spending Monday night watching this. I really appreciate that. And if you're not, you're listening to this recorded, I mean, you're okay. You know, you're not as good as a lot of people watch live, but you're all right. And I appreciate it. Check out Teal for yourself if you have it. If you have, just keep doing it.
Oh, yeah.
You'll find out who's on later next week when I tell you later on. Thank you all for watching.
Thank you.
Hold on.